From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 22 and verse 14. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Our blessed Lord experienced a terrible sinking and melting of soul. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Deep depression of spirit is the most grievous of all trials. All besides is as nothing. Well might the suffering Savior cry to his God, Be not far from me. For above all other seasons a man needs his God when his heart is melted within him because of heaviness. Believer, come near the cross this morning, and humbly adore the King of glory, as having once been brought far lower in mental distress and inward anguish than any one among us, and mark his fitness to become a faithful high priest, who can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Especially, let those of us whose sadness springs directly from the withdrawal of a present sense of our Father's love enter into near and intimate communion with Jesus. Let us not give way to despair, since through this dark room the Master has passed before us. Our souls may sometimes long and faint, and thirst even to anguish to behold the light of the Lord's countenance. At such times, let us stay ourselves with the sweet fact of the sympathy of our great High Priest. Our drops of sorrow may well be forgotten in the ocean of His griefs, but how high ought our love to rise! Come in, O strong and deep love of Jesus, like the sea at the flood in springtides. Cover all my powers, drown all my sins, wash out all my cares. Lift up my earthbound soul, and float it right up to my Lord's feet. And let me lie there, a poor broken shell, washed up by His love, having no virtue or value, and only venturing to whisper to Him that if He will put His ear to me, He will hear within my heart faint echoes of the vast waves of His own love, which have brought me where it is my delight to lie, even at His feet forever.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came. Born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Ooh, it was wonderful, blessed be His name. Seeking for me,
one
Pastor A.W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. A self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God, he was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called The Chain of Grace as he continues this study in the book of Romans. The text is found in chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Here we read of the body being dead because of sin and the spirit giving life because of righteousness. In this passage, Paul is declaring that the death of a believer is the last of three inseparable links in the chain of grace: justification, sanctification, and glorification. Once again, Paul is emphasizing that no effort of the flesh can bring about the salvation of the soul. Only God the Holy Spirit can do that, as he applies Christ's merits to the heart of a sinner. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, justification is the cause of sanctification. The apostle wrote, "The Spirit is life because of righteousness." This life given by the Holy Spirit is perfect, eternal life bestowed upon a body that was dead because of sin. Not only is this a spiritual life, but at the second coming of Christ, it will be applied to the believer's mortal body. This is the ultimate glorification of the believer. Now, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message called The Chain of Grace.
The answer to the condemnation of sin in any man's life is the work of God's sovereign saving grace, whereby the Spirit of God, on account of the righteousness of Christ, puts you into Christ, brings you into a state of justification and acceptance with God, and that's a state of life. And the life does not end with justification. It continues in what we call sanctification. Notice what he says. We're talking about, on the one hand, the body is dead. But even though your body's dead, even though your body is going to betray you, even though your body can sicken and die, even though your body can be used as an instrument of sin, there is an indwelling spirit in the believer. Your body is now, for all its weakness, the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwells in you. This is real. He's the Spirit of life. And not only did he bring you to Christ for salvation or justification initially, but he keeps you in Christ. You've got to remember that. We tend always to want to isolate the moment of conversion, the moment of coming to Christ, the moment of being saved. Isolate the moment. That's something the Bible never does. The Bible never does that. And we ought not to do it. There is a moment where you pass from death unto life. There's a moment when you pass from condemnation into justification. That's true. But there's something that's very vital here. Watch the wording carefully. If Christ is in you, on the one hand your body's dead, but on the other hand, the Spirit is life. Because of the righteousness of Christ. And I take it that the righteousness of Christ, some people say it's because of your own righteousness and sanctification. I never find the New Testament says that your righteousness is the ground of the Spirit's working. The righteousness of Christ is the ground of the Spirit's working. Now watch there for the logic. And this is where Paul is getting right to the heart of our Christianity. Justification is the cause of sanctification. The Spirit is life because of the righteousness of Christ. Justification is the cause of sanctification. Great Scottish commentator said, I'm paraphrasing very slightly to condense what he said, that only the sanctified are justified. And he was not saying they're justified because they're sanctified. If you read all that he said, he was saying the very opposite. Because they have been justified, they are sanctified. The Bible knows nothing about a justification that does not produce the fruit of holiness. The Bible knows nothing about an acceptance with God if there is no desire for holiness. The Bible knows no justification that does not issue in sanctification. But equally, and this is the third part of Paul's great argument, that sanctification is the forerunner of final redemption. And that's why he takes up the subject of eternal glorification in verse 11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I don't know how far I would want to push this, but I like the idea. It was a great German interpreter of the New Testament. And he said, do you notice the difference in wording? The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. And then in the next breath, he that raised up Christ from the dead. It's the same person, but the words are different. The names are different. And he gave it as his opinion that there's two truths here. He raised up Jesus. That is the individual person In other words, that's a mark of the absolute historic reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the body in which he had been put to death. But he did not rise as an individual. He rose as the Christ, the anointed head of his people. And in his resurrection, you have the guarantee of ours. I like the thought, and certainly the apostle seems to bring us to that point, because here he refers to the what I will call the resurrection, but it's more than the resurrection, it's the redemption of the body. Notice what he says, he will quicken your mortal body. That's resurrection, but it means more than resurrection. Resurrection is the restoration to life. But there's more than restoration to life here. Here's the redemption of the body. Now it's subject to sickness, it's subject to death. You remember how Paul described the human body, the body of Christians, in Philippians 3? He called it our vile body. Literally, the body of humiliation. I think we can all understand that language. How often have you felt humiliated? How often is your soul grieved because either of the weakness of the body or the wickedness of the sin that would use this body? How often have we had to grieve with how we have looked? How often we have to grieve how we have lusted? Coveting, letting our eyes go and our hands go to things that are not ours. How often we have grieved at how we have used our ears, our tongues, where our feet have wandered. It's a body of humiliation. And many a time we have had to get before God and prostrate ourselves and cry, God, forgive me. How I've grieved myself and how I've grieved the blessed Spirit of God. It's a body of humiliation, all right. It's a vile body. Body in which death is still working. But, says Paul in Philippians 3:21, the Lord Jesus shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So here's what he says in Philippians. He says, the Lord's going to change our bodies. In Romans he says, he's going to do it. He's going to quicken them. He's going to raise them and restore them. And he's going to do that. Notice this carefully. On account of the Holy Ghost who dwells within us. He's going to bring us to a full and final glorification, a wonderful exaltation. You see, the indwelling Spirit of God, Christ in you, Paul says in Colossians 1:27, is the hope of glory. The word hope has the idea of the guarantee of glory. The indwelling Spirit is the guarantee of our final glorification. You see the links in the chain of grace. The Spirit brings us to faith in justification. That issues in real living sanctification from the same Spirit of life. And that living Spirit within us guarantees an eternal and absolute and perfect glorification. There's a lot of learned controversy over a little word here, that he'll quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. By his Spirit. And others would say, no, it's on account of his Spirit. They're not just different interpretations. They're actually two readings of the text here. But the first, by his Spirit, many people have held on to because they say that shows the deity of the Holy Ghost. It shows he is truly God. And I like that. But the actual fact is that the vast majority of the copies of this text in the Greek scriptures say it was on account of the Holy Ghost. And I like that because it makes this connection. The Spirit brought you to faith, justification. The Spirit dwells within you in sanctification. That indwelling Spirit is the guarantee of your glorification. Do you see this? God will never fail to glorify any man who's indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. Now you see the absolute importance. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But you're not of that kind. You have the Spirit of Christ, justified freely by his grace, indwelt and sanctified, and now certain to be glorified. So this is the point. All who are justified by faith are in Christ. All who are in Christ are indwelt by the Spirit. And all whom the Holy Ghost indwells, he'll fully and finally deliver from every vestige of death, condemnation, and bring them to eternal glory. Three inseparable links in the chain of saving grace. Justification produces sanctification, leads to glorification. I think of the words of Paul in Philippians 1 verse 6. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is good to be saved. Salvation is a wonderful work of the triune God. I mentioned an old German commentator. He set this down and I liked it. He wrote it in Latin, but I'll give you it in English. I don't think it would do me any good to try and remember the Latin, although it's pretty easy, and wouldn't do you any good either. He said that he who has the Spirit has Christ. He who has Christ has God. That's our security. That's our absolute security. You have the Spirit. Not have you walked an aisle. Not have you been sprinkled, poured, or immersed with water. Not have you been to the table. But have you the indwelling Spirit of God? I gave you some indications last week of the indwelling Spirit. I don't want to repeat them ad nauseam, but nonetheless, the Spirit always convicts of sin. It's one evidence of the working and presence of the Spirit. He gives a conscience about sin. He always leads to Christ. The Holy Spirit always leads to Christ. The Holy Spirit always leads to prayer. He's the Spirit of grace and intercession. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. These are just some of the indications of the presence of the Spirit. Where you have the Spirit, you have Christ, a whole Christ, who is made unto you wisdom and both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You have a whole Christ. And if you have Christ, you have God. Make sure tonight you're saved. You need a whole lot more than religion. You need a whole lot more than glib, empty, meaningless, fruitless profession. You need a whole lot more than the veneer of upright living. You need Christ. Receive Him by faith, and you will know the security that these links in the chain of grace will never be broken by any man, by any devil, or by any event of life, or even of death. May God bless His word to all our hearts.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.